Okay, you may be seated. Welcome to Lake Country Bible Church, to members and visitors. If you're a visitor with us this morning, we sure would like some information about you. In the envelope, in the pouch in front of you, there's an envelope, and it's got a pen and a form in it. If you'd fill that out, let us know a little bit about yourselves. Put that in the basket to the right-hand side of the door as you go out. Maybe we could get in touch with you and say, hey, we sure was glad having you here. Maybe you get in touch with us, tell us a little bit about yourself. So just please give us a little information there. Thank you. Thank you.
Good morning. These are the announcements that we have. A prayer meeting meets back here, 9 o'clock every Sunday morning. A little room back here behind this door. Women's Bible study is Tuesday evening, 6:30. Terry Buckley is starting the book of Samuel. All women are invited. 1 Samuel, she's... Wednesday night, prayer meeting, Bible study at 6 p.m. Everybody is welcome. Kindness Cottage is... the food and the collection for the kids' snacks and crackers and cookies and packages, those things can be delivered to the church. If you have any questions about that, Jean Fox will help you out. Movie night is this Friday, showing Acts to Revelation. It's a drive-through history. Everybody is welcome, and oh yeah, it's free. It's not in the announcements. I want to go ahead and announce this. The leadership committee has authorized Orban to create a harmonica choir. We're looking for, it sounds like interesting, but he was able to get interesting music out of the kids at kids camp. So he would like those that might be willing to learn how to play the harmonica to join him. Please talk to him. He's the young man in the back there against the wall, in case you are interested. Please do talk to him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for being our God. You are an awesome, awesome God. And we thank you for grace. We thank you for the work of Christ on the cross. We thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for your word. If we read your word, it comforts us in the times that we're in. And we thank you, Father, for the many, many blessings that you have given this church. We pray, Father, for Freddie Coyle, our missionary. What a mentor he has been to us, and he is suffering with this cancer, and we pray, Father, that you'd be with him, guide him in his treatment, and lead us to pray for him more and more. He needs all the prayer. Pray for Mike Farland, our pastor, and his message today. We pray you give him wisdom and guidance in his leadership of this church. Pray, Father, for the country, this country. Pray, oh my, what a mess we have made of country. Pray that in these times of need that we can turn to you and seek your will and your wisdom and your guidance and your rest and peace. Pray, Father, for the many, many, many unspoken prayer requests that people in this congregation have. We pray, Father, that you go with us, walk with us, and keep us safe. Pray all these things in Christ's name. Say. Scripture reading, Scripture reading today is Daniel 2, verses 20 through 30. Second chapter of Daniel, verses 20 through 30. Verse 20. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reviveth the deep, secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God, for my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of Thee. For Thou hast made known unto us the king's matter." Therefore, Daniel went in to Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to them, "Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation." Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus to him, "I have found a man, the captives of Judah, that will make known unto the king the interpretation." The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, "Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof?" Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. Make known to the king in the latter days, thy dream and thy visions of thy head upon the bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into my mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? He that revealeth secrets made known to thee, what shall come to pass? But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes, that shall make known the interpretation to the king, thou that mightest know the thoughts of thy heart."
Gathered together this morning, we had a good Sunday school lesson this morning. A lot of questions were posed, and answers were given, and some supposes were given, and had a good time. I want to thank each one of you for your faithfulness in being here. This summertime, normally summer does mean lower attendance, but I appreciate your faithfulness. It's a blessing to look out and see the Sunday after Sunday those that come to worship with us. We'll try to get this sound fixed this morning. We were talking with Freddie this week, and continue to pray for him. His situation is still up in the air, but pray for him. He is confident. He is at peace, and he really had an opportunity for a good time. Freddie, I don't know how many of you realize this, but he has some Cherokee blood in him. So he went up into North Georgia mountains to a Cherokee meeting of some kind. And
he was looking forward to that, and I'm sure that his family enjoyed that too. But pray for him. The battle's not over, but God is able. So remember him in prayer. I was reading this week, and a little boy went to his daddy and asked him, said, "Daddy, how much does it cost to get married?" The father said, "I don't know, son. I'm still paying for it." That's terrible. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. The only one of your children who does not grow up and move away, ladies, is your husband. And we're glad for these ladies that are here this morning. And the role they play in the life of our church could not get by without them. We're looking in the second chapter of Daniel this morning. And let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity that you give us. Father, in a land that is so full of trouble and opposition and opposing viewpoints, and just, Father, nothing is stable, it seems like, any longer. Father, we are so thankful that you are our stability. You are our rock. You are the one that we come to when troubling times come. Father, as we look into the second chapter of Daniel this morning, I was encouraged because you're the one that Daniel depended upon. Father, you brought him safely through this crisis in his life. Father, we know there's many individuals here with crisis in their lives, different types, different amounts. Father, we are so thankful that no matter what the crisis is, what the problem is, what the need is, what the worry is, what the anxiety is, Father, that you're our rock. Father, we pray that we might live our lives in the frame of mind that you're our Heavenly Father, that you love us with a perfect love, gave your Son that we might have eternal life as a free gift by faith. Father, we just thank you for that. And Father, thank you for those times during the dark hours of the midnight and early morning. And those things come upon our mind and we find ourselves unable to sleep. We can call out to you if only in our minds. We can call out to you and make our needs and our anxieties known. That, Father, you give us peace. Father, we ask you to guide our study this morning, and we give you the honor and praise, and we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Daniel chapter 2. Very interesting passage of Scripture. Daniel, in his writing here, we find that falling apart. No, I think that was Brad. We find that Daniel is a very prophetic book. Many, many truths we find here in the book of Daniel. But we find also in Daniel chapter 2 that Daniel chapter 2 is a passage of Scripture taken from this book of Daniel in which we find much encouragement for our walk with the Lord. Daniel is our example. How did Daniel handle his situation? We stopped last week as we looked at Daniel chapter 2, verse 20 or 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, his companions. What was it that he made known to them? Well, he made known to them the situation they were in. Here Nebuchadnezzar had said to his other magicians and Chaldeans within his realm of advisors and influencers, he made known this dream that he had. Not the content of the dream, but he made known the dream. He said, "I dreamed a dream. I can't even remember the dream, but this dream causes me a lot of trouble. I can't sleep." In fact, he said he had, the book of Daniel relates to us that he had many dreams. And he was curious. Robbed him of his sleep, robbed him of his peace. And so that's where we pick up this morning. Find in the Word of God, there's some 200 plus instances of where dreams or visions are mentioned in the Word of God. We find that Joseph dreamed a dream. We find that Abraham dreamed a dream. We find that the Apostle Paul saw a vision. Pharaoh saw a vision. We find that Ananias had a dream. Here in the book of Daniel, we find that King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, but also later on in Scripture, we find that Daniel had a vision. And so we find here the disconcerting effects that dreams can have on our rest and our peace and our daily life. And the king was very, very concerned about this dream that he had that he could not remember. What he had done was he had sent out and called in his magicians and those of influence around him, those who were supposed to be knowledgeable people, those who were supposed to have the answers to life, being able to do quote-unquote supernatural things in discerning the dreams of other people. And he called them in before him, and he asked them or told them to tell him what the dream was, number one. And number two, tell him what the thing meant in the dream. What was the dream, and what was the subject, if you would, of the dream? So they put up quite a fuss before the king. They were quite, should I say, ignorant in their responses to the king, the manner in which they responded, the tone of voice that they used, almost ridiculing him, because they said, "You're the only one, only king that has ever existed that would require this of his advisors." And so the king, Nebuchadnezzar, got awfully upset with them. And he sent out a decree that all of these men that he has had chosen personally to be around him, to be his advisors, to be his guides, that they should be killed, including Daniel and his three friends. So Daniel made an opportunity to get the king's attention, and I believe that he probably sent another individual, maybe the man that was in charge of Daniel and these three friends of Daniel's, into the king, said, "Can you hold off on this decree?" That was what Daniel wanted, and that was what he requested. And King Nebuchadnezzar was of a mind to at least hear them out. And so Daniel went to his friend. And in verse 17, where we left off, Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to his three friends. We find in verse 18, where we begin our study this morning, that they would desire mercy of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men. You see, Daniel and his friends had two needs. Number one need was that they not perish, that they would not be killed. The other need they had was that God would reveal to them this dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. Daniel and his friends were facing some very dire consequences as a result of the king's magicians, Chaldeans, and advisors, that had angered the king, Daniel and his friends stood in line as the others, so to speak, to be killed. Daniel and his friends asked God to reveal to them what this dream was that the king had. I'm sure that it was a very earnest request on their part. Have you ever had an earnest request to go to the Lord with? Have you ever had a diagnosis of a doctor that caused you to lose sleep? Have you ever had within your realm of family where there were family problems, where there were instances that would cause you to lose sleep? I'm looking out over this crowd, and a lot of us either have gray hair, white hair, or no hair. I'm going to tell you, I have. Some of these things are so disconcerting that we run up against in life. Daniel's life depended on what he was requesting of the Lord. So was his fellow countrymen, these young men that the king had brought in, given them a special place of service and honor. Yet the king threatened to kill them. Daniel chapter 2, verse 19, their request of the Lord was granted. Just recently, I had opportunity to become advised of a situation that some people were going through. Pretty dire situation. They asked for prayer. To tell upon their face that it was something serious, very serious to them. It wasn't much different with Daniel. In fact, it was probably more urgent. God used a special revelation to Daniel. God used a vision to Daniel. Daniel chapter 2, verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Have you ever been so relieved when God came through and answered a prayer, met a need, healed, encouraged, met that situation in your life? What was your immediate response? What has my immediate response been? Well, thank you, Lord. That's neat. I'll be back next time I have a problem. Now, most of us are. But Daniel here bless the God of heaven. Now, I don't know what that looked like, but I have seen the football team on the sidelines when their team has just made a big touchdown and won the game. They're jumping up and down and hollering and screaming and shaking their hands in the air. Probably Daniel and his friends did the same thing. Do we do the same thing. Do we bless God? Do we verbally, with overflowing gratitude, thank Him for His provisions? Do we have a wayward child or a wayward family member that you're praying for? Maybe they need to get their lives squared away. They need to make better choices. They need to stop doing some things that they're doing and start doing other things that they should be doing. Do you bless God when He comes through with the answers? Here, God revealed the secret and to Daniel in a night vision. It said earlier, over 200 plus times in the Word of God, God used a night vision or a vision or a dream to communicate His will or His answer to the petitions of various people in Scripture. There's a difference between a dream and a vision. A dream has been described by that which is seen in the dream just before waking. This means, and I have, since I have been studying this, I have awakened more than one morning to recall the dream that I had just had before awakening. It seems like these dreams come just before the waking. I didn't have any kind of special revelation, but I could identify the dream. Some of them are pretty crazy, but I guess that's the way it goes. But to see this vision or this dream. And so God used this vision with Daniel to reveal what His will was. A vision is what its name implies, that which can be seen with the eyes closed while the individual is fully conscious. Many of those within Scripture that we find as we go through the Word of God, either reading or studying, God revealed many times His Word to His prophets in the Old Testament by visions and dreams. It seemed to be a good way to communicate. At least it was to Daniel, to his friends. The need for God to be the answer to their prayer is evident in the life of these men, Daniel and his companions. You know, they were resigned to whatever the king had decreed and ordered. They were resigned to that. Do we become resigned sometimes to the things that we have no control over? We find peace spoken here in the book of Daniel as much as we do prophecy. It's revealed to us. Daniel and his friends were resigned to what their situation was. The king had decreed death. They were captive. There was no way for them to escape should the king carry out his decree. How do you find peace in that kind of situation? How do you find peace when the doctor's diagnosis comes in? It's untreatable. This is what we feel like your life expectancy is. They were resigned to their fate. They were resigned to their situation. dependence on their God. My dependence, your dependence in difficult times. What is it on? Is it on medical care? Is it on winning that $1.5 billion lottery? Is it dependent on that one that we married? Marriage isn't working out so well. And in the morning hours, nothing stirring. The desire to hear that previous loved one's voice. What's the situation? Where's our dependence during the difficult times in this life? You see, Daniel and his countrymen were in a foreign country. They had been picked personally by Nebuchadnezzar. Now their lives were threatened because Nebuchadnezzar could not remember his dream. Sometimes I feel a little bit like Nebuchadnezzar. Can't remember real well. But their lives were threatened by a demand that no other king ever known had ever made. You tell me the dream, what it means. You see, the requirement was that they describe a dream. The king could not remember. Their goal was to tell him what it means, that dream that he couldn't remember. See, it's neat to look into the book of Daniel and see that Daniel and his friends look to the Lord, resigned to the fact that there is no other way out of our situation lest God gives us the answer. I don't know about you, but there have been some situations in my life that God was the only answer. He came through. In this situation, Daniel and his countrymen, their dependence, their hope, their lives were being threatened as God came to their rescue. Isn't it odd that you and I, in the small things in life, we do this or do the other, and we somehow juggle things around, and everything works out. As I look into the book of Daniel, I find that Daniel's first response was to depend upon the Lord, his leadership, his guidance. It's a great thing for a believer to know that God knows all he's going through. Have you ever been unable to pray for that need? Or that person in your family, that person in your life, that individual that you want the very best for, and they keep stumbling in life. They keep doing the things that got them there in the first place. It's so neat to be able to turn to the Lord. Say, God, you're in control. control of all things. I can do nothing in this situation. Daniel and his friends could do nothing except trust in the Lord. Knowing that God knew all things, knowing that God knew their situation, they trusted in the Lord. Oh, truly God, Elohim, the putter forth of power, not only holds the world in his hands, but he knows our needs. He's more than willing to answer. He knows the end from the beginning. He even knows what could have happened if things had happened that didn't happen. God knew. God knows. You see, Daniel pled for an extension of time. The king granted it. And a prayer meeting was called that night that I believe probably hasn't been witnessed in very many instances throughout history. A prayer meeting. An all-night prayer meeting. Have you ever purposed to pray all night? I have. I've given it a try. But I'm sorry to say I've never made through an all-night prayer meeting. God. These young men, God answered their prayer. God answered their need again. They pled for an extension of time. He granted it. Daniel and his fellow men sought the Lord's wisdom. Found it. When we come to the end of our ropes, so to speak, when all hope is gone, when everything that we have set aside meet the needs that could come up in life. All of those are laid waste. Where's our hope? Where was Daniel's hope? Where was his friend's hope? In the Lord. We can do the same things in our walk with the Lord daily. Maybe your instance in life might be a little bit different. Maybe God has for us who've gone through these things used these things to strengthen us in our walk with the Lord. Whatever the reason, problems, the situations, the anxiety, God uses for a purpose. We find that the dream was revealed to Daniel. And when it was, Daniel's response was, turn to praise. I can just imagine what their faces looked like when Daniel said, God revealed it to me, fellas. Whew. Can you imagine the relief that Daniel and his three countrymen experienced? God revealed the dream. Verse 20 of Daniel chapter 2, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. You see, they acknowledged here in verse 20 and the following few verses we won't get to today. But they acknowledged where that answer came from. They acknowledged God's ability to meet their need. They rejoiced in the fulfillment of the need that they had. Let me say this, this morning, we can rejoice in the fulfillment of the needs that we have when we turn to the Lord and depend upon Him for the answers we have in this life. You may be here this morning, not know where you're going when you die. God's Word tells us, as we learned in Sunday school this morning, for it's appointed unto men which wants to die in the judgment. How do we pass that? Has that ever kept you awake at night? The good news is, letting this hand represent you and I, and that you letting this tissue box represent sin. God's Word says we're all sinners. We've all done things that are wrong. It may get a little bit easier for us to stomach because we hate to say that we sinned. People have begun to say, made a mistake. Well, let me say this. Sin is a whole lot easier and quicker to write down than it is to write down mistake. God's Word says we're all sinners. And there's many people standing behind the pulpit today teaching that if you get rid of this sin and this sin and this sin, turn over a new leaf, and you get a good attitude, God will take mercy on you and give you that eternal life. But let me say this, God's Word doesn't say that. God's Word says you can do all of those things and that you still have that sin on you. How do we get to heaven, which is a perfect place, no sin, no death, no sickness, no tears in heaven? How do we get to heaven with that sin on us? We have to be as perfect as God is. How do we do that? We don't. Christ did it for us, letting His hand represent Christ, who was sinless, who is perfect, who is God manifested in the flesh. He came and voluntarily took our sin upon Himself. He gives us His righteousness to go to heaven on. When we, by faith, trust Christ, what He did for us to get us. We're given eternal life, free gift. We are then God's children. God, through His Holy Spirit, can lead us and direct us, give us that peace and joy that we so frantically look for in the things that the world can give us but never satisfy. Never meet the requirements of a righteous God. God's Word says the wages of sin is death. Here this morning, you've never trusted Christ and what He's done for you to get you to heaven. You know, before you leave here, 1 John chapter 5, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may, A-N-O-W, know that you have eternal life. When you do that, you can be sure God's not a liar, not a man that He should lie. He says, I give you eternal life. The Holy Spirit comes and indwells you. He gives you the leadership and direction we desire and need in our walk here on this earth. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, please. Nobody looking around. Let me say this, bowing your head, closing your eyes doesn't save you. I'm going to ask you in just a moment to raise your hand if you trusted Christ this morning, but I won't embarrass you in any way. I won't call you by name. I won't call you forward. I won't get with you after the service. This is a time that's between you and the Lord. The only reason I'd like to know trusting Christ this morning, number one, it'll be a joy to me. Number two, you'll need the prayers of someone who loves you and is concerned. concern for you in the days to come. Because that old Satan, he'll get upset and mad. You'll need the prayers of somebody who loves you, wants the very best for you, and I would consider it a privilege to pray for you. If you're trusting Christ this morning, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody looking around, embarrassed in any way, I'd like to know who you are. I'd like for you to slip up your hand until I see it, and then you put it down. Body? Trusting Christ, you've never done it before. God bless you. I see your hand. Anybody else? Lift it up, put it down. Fine. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you so much for grace. Father, we know that it's by grace, through faith, we have eternal life. Father, we thank you for that gift. Thank you, Father, for your love, for the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our walk with you. And, Father, we pray. Pray this morning for those instances in the lives of those that are here and the lives of those that we know, Father, that they're up against a brick wall. We ask, Father, that you would deliver them much the same as you did Daniel, his countrymen. Thank you for this time together. We ask in Christ's name.